I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our third AI horror podcast. Here's me, it's Mal again, and Rizzo's on the line with me as well. How's the game, mate?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. So this one is our third podcast. One previously was solely dedicated to it. It's doing remarkably well. There's a lot of people liking it, and obviously we told you first to go and watch it. So it's thanks to us, it's doing well, clearly.
We did.
Hopefully you've enjoyed it and liked it, and everyone's there's been a bit of negativity behind it because it wasn't scary enough and all that sort of stuff, but hey, you can't please everyone, right? But this podcast, I didn't go for that mate
because like it's a different experience for everyone.
It is.
Someone watches it and go, oh, I wasn't scared, maybe they're not wrapped up in the story, you know.
Yeah, exactly, each their own, right? Each their own. But this one isn't about it. It isn't about a single movie. It's about 30 movies. We're talking about Fright Fest. Now, as you know, Maurizio and I went to Fright Fest back in the end of August, spent five days watching horror films. It's a huge event for both of us. It's like Christmas for us. We base our summer holidays or summer, end of summer bank holiday around it. We all look forward to it. All Fright Festers look forward to going to Fright Fest. And the planning starts soon as the movies get released, as soon as we know what's got up there.
Yeah, don't worry, Mel. We're just the geeks who go see all of it. I mean, there's people who do go and see the odd one. You don't have to go see the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's 5 days. And apart from one film, which will come to later, which I walked out of, you don't stop for food. You just carry on going. And you grab food when you can, and you watch every single film you can. But yeah, it was a great event this year. It was back at Leicester Square in the Empire. Not in the world, it's the Empire.
What are your feelings about being back at the Empire?
It's just brilliant, man. It's just nostalgia kicked in, you know? You walk into that foyer again, which we used to queue up for early morning to get the Discovery tickets.
I didn't like it, mate. That nostalgia for me was going, oh, God, it's going to be cramped a little. I preferred the other one, the Cineworld, the space. Was it
Cineworld?
Was it? No, what was the...
Shepherd's Bush?
No,
the one... What, View?
View, that's the one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I didn't like that because you're upstairs and downstairs, weren't you? So we all split up.
Yes, so the breakout area was the best bit about it.
Really.
The food options at Shepherd's Bush were my favourite, but over the Empire is the screen. The screen was magnificent.
It's huge. Every director that came on, like, look at the side of the screen. Look at the side of the screen. But I loved it. I loved being. I think Empire was good for us because that's where it started for me. That's where Fright Fest started for me, was the Empire. And nostalgia kicked in, and I was like, wow, man, we're back here. You know, the foyer was what it was. You walk out. The good thing with the foyer was that the media wall was right there. So it wasn't tucked away like last year in the other events where you don't see the celebs and that. So you see them all doing their interviews and stuff. But it was just nice to be back at the Empire. And the venue was good, although we had the we're all going to hell people outside. Was it that priest? No, who was it? The church people and then the Islamic people and then there's us guys.
It was all going on. It didn't really kick off though. I thought it was going to kick off. The one guy screaming, and the other lads going, here's our free copy of the Quran for you.
Exactly. But then one of the therapists did get told that you were going to hell for watching these movies. I'm sure I saw it in some forum somewhere.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So and think of you know, the contrast. You got this guy chatting about Jesus Christ, and you got another guy, you know, talking about Islam and the Quran, and you got us guys walking out of cinema right opposite them, literally opposite them, just watching horror films and things just goes against everything that they're preaching. It was just just bizarre, and it just tied in to the madness of Frightfest, I think. But anyway, let's not go on about that. Just let's talk about some movies and okay, what we actually saw.
We'll take it from the top. We'll start from day one. We get there on the Thursday, and it starts.
You were late, weren't you?
No, I arrived just in time. I arrived just in time.
Yeah, because I was like, shit, where is he? Where is he?
Yeah, I like to turn up way before time and grab a beer, but I was on things didn't work out that way. But anyway.
No, that's fine. Yeah, yeah.
So we get there. Premiere is world. Was it world premiere?
I think it was, yeah. Cult of Chucky.
Cult of Chucky. Now,
yes.
I haven't seen a Chucky film since Child's Play 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's going way back. So it's been quite a while. So it was quite a thing to see that puppet up on the big screen. And then there was they also screened like a documentary beforehand, didn't they?
They did. So yeah, there was a lot of hype. So when early on, so when we were all getting ready, so we got there early. Right, I was there from about 4 o'clock. I was in the pub for a bit, and then I went in across. But there's a lot of buzz. So obviously you had. Like the cast, Jennifer Tilly and Fiona Dourif and that were being interviewed, but you had people just, dressing up and everyone had Chucky dolls and stuff. There's a lot of hype, there's a lot of people just taking pictures of random people dressed up in Chucky stuff. I was wearing a Chucky t-shirt, so someone took a picture of me and chucked it on some Chucky Facebook group. And it was a lot of hype around it. So then it was really well, worked in well, because then you got into the cinema and then they had this documentary, which was, basically living with Chucky. So it was, looking at, how Chucky is involved, involved with the people that are around it. So,
yeah, those sort of followed sort of Fiona Dourif
And there was it was called The Dollhouse, by the way, by Kyra Gardner. She was the one that, who basically she was the one around the creator. So she grew up around Chucky, and it looks to, just looked at around how Chucky's influenced different families, so obviously the Dior family and Mancini family and that sort of stuff. And it's really good little setup for the Chucky movie. And then we kicked off obviously with Chucky movie. And it was a big hype. Great opening movie, because it was just, a nice, easy watch.
You saw the last one, didn't you? You saw that on Fright Fest.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
What was that called?
That was the Curse of Chucky.
How did this rate to that? Because the Cult of Chucky starts with a quick roundup of what happened in the previous film, right?
It does, yeah, yeah. It was
almost
like
those episodes on TV. They did the quick recap of the last one.
Yeah, but they didn't do all of it. I think from what I remember, they only did Child's Play, and then it was looking at Andy's on a date, and it just goes on about that, and then it goes from there to Nika in this sort of house about hospital, whatever. But
but and the bit where Fiona Dorf's like in a wheelchair, yeah? That was in the previous film.
It was, yeah, sorry, yeah, it was in the previous one. That was Cult Chucky, sorry. Curse of Chucky.
Yeah.
So that they showed that bit, yeah. But look, it was alright. I preferred Curse of Chucky. Cult Chucky was okay. There was a couple of good kills, actually about two good kill scenes. But it wasn't great. About, I'd say 6 out of 10, to be fair.
It had some, it had a bit of bloodletting, it had some funny little death scenes. And
yes.
But the story wasn't that big, was it? It just felt like a continuation onto the next film in the saga, I thought.
Yeah, and without giving away the end, the story does sort of revolve around, is it all in their heads? Is Chucky all in their heads? And that's not a spoiler, because if you look at the trailer says the same thing. But it's almost like it was made because they could get away with making another Chucky film.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was all right. It wasn't fantastic. And I haven't got a lot to say about it, to be fair, because apart from the two death scenes, it was average, to be fair.
The main thing for me was because Fiona Dourif was there, so I got to run over to her and said, loved you in Dirk Gently on Netflix. That's brilliant, that show.
Yeah. Don't forget, this is the first of what, 30 films? No, 25 films we were going to watch, right?
Yep.
And there's, for those that don't know how Frightfest is set up, for those that are listening for the first time or don't know about Frightfest, there's four screens set up at Frightfest. One is a main horror screen for those that hold 5-day passes. So that's about how many 100 passes got sold. And then there's another screen, which is basically day passes or weekend passes, called the Arrow screen. And those are another set of fans, Frightfest, that sit there but the films are on a 15-minute delay. And then you've got Discovery screens. You've got one at the Cineworld or Empire, which hosts sort of one echelon of Discovery films. And then you've got two Discovery strands at the Prince Charles.
Yeah, but just to be clear, this is a horror film festival showing individual films. You can get a ticket to see one film, watch it and leave. Yes. You don't have to be crazy like Mal and talk about the whole 5 days watching everything.
That's how I started Frightfest. I went to one movie.
Yeah. I did as well. I mean, my first was Trick or Treat, I think.
Yeah, you were saying in the last one. But so just to give a background, so there's these five screens on show. You can basically watch the whole lot or pick what you want to watch, and it's up to you. And the best part of it is, you've got this plethora of movies, and you can just literally go there, read up on it, and think, actually, I like a look at that. The opening films are always the ones that aren't sort of changeable. Although this year they changed up a bit. They did put two films on the Discovery film, this is the first time they've done that. Normally, opening night is opening night, and you're all in the same screen, and you're all watching the same stuff, or the 15-minute delay one. But this time they put a Discovery film, which was Redwood and Diane. I didn't watch any of them, so I can't comment on those. But this one seems to have a lot.
We'll stick to the ones we've seen, Mal. It'll probably go a lot quicker that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good thing on this, actually, for the people that are listening, is we do split. So you and I tend to sort of don't watch the same stuff.
Yeah, no, I stick with the good films, and then you watch the rubbish ones.
Missed a couple that I take the hit on the ones that I think I'm adventurous on, and sometimes they work out being right.
Well, we'll see as we go through. We'll see if where we diverge. But anyway, next up was actually a big release. It was Death Note.
Yeah, we say that, but it was on Netflix the day after.
Yeah, but this was it wasn't the worldwide, was it? It was the European premiere. This is a big thing. It's a big budget.
I don't know. It was, and Willem Dafoe was in it.
It was coming to Netflix, but it's the Netflix. Then that's just like it opens up for everyone to watch it on the small screen. We got to see it
virtually
an IMAX size screen. It's a different type of experience.
Yeah, and again, it wasn't a bad film. The concept, also, obviously, if people that don't know, it's a anime or manga style cartoon.
I know of Death Note, but I've never watched the manga. I've never seen the film.
All I know is based on the manga. On the manga.
I was just checking to see if we were approached this from different angles.
No, not at all. And it was a live action version of that. Now the guy behind it, Adam Wingard, who I really liked, done Your Next and The Guest. So I was hyped to watch it because of him. Even though I thought, I can see it on Netflix the day after, I thought, his last two films have been good. I liked Your Next. I liked The Guest. So he's the guy behind Death Note. It wasn't bad. Again, the concept's interesting. So the concept is quite straightforward. A guy, this kid finds a book, and if you write someone's name in a book, they die. But it's a good social commentary on the power he's got and the power that he can use for good or for bad or for whatever it is. And then there's his kid, there's other kids around him. So it's set around kids, and I'm assuming the manga story is written the same sort of way. And I think it's a good take on that sort of look at society, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because the action is transferred to Seattle. I guess there's still some sort of nods to the Japanese stuff. But it had a whole streak of like emo teens in Seattle. And I liked it. I really liked it because it's a simple premise. It's a book. You write someone's name in it, they die. And how can you stretch this out for so long? But it worked really well because then the boy gets himself a girlfriend who is way above his league. Way out of his league.
But she's a bit twisted, isn't she, as well?
Yeah, and then that becomes an interesting thing, their relationship.
Yeah.
And naturally, they move from just killing the odd person to believing that they're making a change.
They feel that they can make a positive change.
Yeah.
And I think this is the good thing about the movie, is that it tries to look at social commentary about what it is and what it does. But again, it was okay, but it didn't wow me, but it's a good watch.
But some dude got his head cut off. Like it, Not just head cut off. It was like, wasn't it from the jaw or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, we like some gore, man.
No, it was good thing because it was done quite well because you sort of think, well, how can we do it? And they do it quite well. And there are some good death scenes, and even the end is good. I mean, the Willem Dafoe is great. So the Willem Dafoe plays the character this death god called Ryuk, who's the main character, who's the sort of the protagonist against this kid who can write in a book. And he's great. The voice is creepy. Willem Dafoe is fantastic. I think the right choice for that sort of character. And it really, really does. You know, I think if it weren't him in the film, I think it would have fallen flat.
So because Wingard was directing it, he had his signature stuff in there. It felt a bit 80s. It had some good color. It was done in the textbook's way that he's done, like The Guest.
Yes.
And You're Next. I really liked it.
Again, there's a few plot holes for me, to be fair, the way things coincidentally happen. But most movies got plot holes these days. And, you know, you suspend your belief sometimes when you watch any sort of genre film. And I think, but there are a few bits that I'm thinking, oh, really? But it ties it up nicely. So there's a lot of, you also think, oh, okay, that's fair enough. I can see how it's gone. So the film ends in the right sort of way and you sort of see what's going on. And, it all ties up nicely. I forget what certificate is now, but I think it could have gone, had it been going for like an 18 certificate or something a bit more edgy and less mainstream, it probably would have been a better movie for me.
Okay.
But no, it wasn't a bad watch, but again, it wasn't like, wow, you've got to watch it, you know. I think the kids will like it. I'm saying that because I'm like an old man now, but I think if you're a kid who's probably read the manga stuff, is into that kind of...
Well, I don't know, man. One of us should have done it. We should have read all that stuff because then we would have been like, oh, no way, that's a disgrace. It's nothing like how it's meant to be.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, true. Exactly, yeah. But maybe, I mean, it's probably worth asking people to tweet in to say, look, have you seen or read any of the manga stuff and compared it to here?
Yes, Death Note nerds, think? Please tweet in and tell us how exactly shit the film is because it doesn't all match good. The manga stuff.
Yeah. So that was second up. And then third up.
Oh, yes.
Psychopaths.
Now, I really want to see this because Larry Fessenden.
Yeah, I know. You said this at the start.
Yeah, he's done some good stuff, man. I like looking out for his things.
Yeah. I wasn't keen from the start.
We started off with Larry Fessenden on screen.
Exactly. And I wasn't. I had a bad night before as well. I had a late night before. I think I had about 5 hours.
Don't get excuses. And I haven't even explained to everyone what happened yet.
I'm building up to that.
You get excused early, mate.
Exactly. But even first off, I looked at it and I thought it's going to be all that arty kind of edgy kind of, I don't know.
Starts off, bang. Was it the guy pops the trunk, pulls somebody out of there and starts digging a hole or something?
Yeah.
And then it was pretty flashy. And then I can't remember. Yeah, it started like that. That was one crazy guy and he had a mask on and he looked good. He looked good as a crazy guy.
He started off all right.
Then there was another guy. He was... He was his thing was obviously some sort of serial killer. Sort of, was he like basically getting women and slashing them up? I can't quite remember.
Yeah, there was this whole.
He
sort of,
was,
you know,
stylish. He was looking good and crazy. And
then there was that bird, wasn't there? The escaped mental patient.
Yes, and she was the best of the lot. And
she was actually pretty good. She was actually pretty good, to be fair.
Like you say, Mal, for some reason, it wasn't all hanging together, right? It was...
No.
I was kind of waiting for the story to start.
Yeah, and then there came a point in the movie where I'm like, what the hell's going on?
No, Mal. There came a point in the movie where I looked to my left, and you are asleep, right?
Yes, I dozed off.
This is the third film in a list of 25 we have to watch, and you are sleeping. This is day one. I turned to Lau and I said, shall I nudge him? And Lau said, just let him be, right?
Yeah.
I swear to God, you were out about 10 minutes and then something happened. I think someone came out of our row. You got sort of nudged back into life.
Yeah.
And I sat there and waited. And I reckon it was maybe 4 or 5 minutes. You look in the screen. Oh, no, it couldn't be that. But a couple of minutes. And then you just turned to me and went, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, but it was. But you know what? I would have said that even if I hadn't fallen asleep, because the movie. I was like, what the hell's going on with the movie?
Yeah, I
probably switched off because I'm thinking, what's going on? And to be fair, I don't really fall asleep much, to be honestly speaking. And it must have been either. Well, it was poor for me to do that, but also, it's just I just wasn't following it, mate. I just like, what the hell's going on with this film? You know, and I knew in my mind I had a couple of late nights planned on the Friday and Saturday and Sunday anyway. So it was a tactical sleep, I think, on my part to keep me going, which worked actually, because later on in the festival, I did manage to have about 4 hours sleep most nights, or 3 hours sleep most nights. But that film didn't do it for me, mate. You know, I didn't even try to stay out for it. I didn't even fight the sleep. I'm like, look, I'm going to fall asleep. I'm not going to do it.
I felt there was enough interesting characters in there. It just felt like they could have just concentrated on one of the psychopaths and had a story around them.
Funnily enough, right, when I read some reviews on it after, sorry, when I read some feedback on it afterwards, so I went online that night. I went back to the hotel and I couldn't sleep. I'm flicking through, and funnily enough, all the filmmakers and directors really liked it, and all the fans didn't like it. So maybe there's something there that the filmmakers or directors appreciated that you're trying to do, which we couldn't get. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't understand that either. I wasn't taken with it. I was very upset, and that's probably damaged my run of going to see Larry Fessenden films. Maybe I should only see ones that he's directed.
Yes.
But then the other thing, I tell you what, Mal, it was in that film, wasn't Larry Fessenden was like, he was on death row, wasn't he? And he was going to get executed. And he's like, meant to be a really scary guy. And I thought, hang on, I just saw this guy last week, and he was in another film. He was chained to a car, begging for his life. and he looks really sort of distinctive. And he was the same person. He didn't do any, put any makeup or anything. And it was just kind of funny. Like, last week I saw him begging for his life. He's going to die. He's going to die. And then this week he's like, you know, he's the killer himself.
No, it didn't do much for me, mate. So I'll just, it was fine. And after that, I think we didn't go out that night. We went straight. I think we all went home.
So yeah, that was day one, and I was more or less, I was happy with it. I thought they were good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I didn't get much sleep that night because the guy, Lau, who I shared a hotel room with, twin beds, I should add.
Not like that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You can snore a bit, and earplugs and pillows on my head weren't helping. So I think on and off, I had about 4 hours sleep, which is fine because I think following morning, a good breakfast and a lot of coffee kind of helped. But
Day two. Yeah, moving on from what the hell you did between the films, because I don't really care.
I'm building up to the fact that I sleep helped.
You're building up to the fact we saw a horror film. So I was looking forward to this one. I've got this, I believe I had it on my nerdy spreadsheet marked down as plot. I like the sound of this one.
Oh, is that what the P meant in your spreadsheet?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it meant possible.
No, it meant plot.
Okay.
I've got the colour scheme for the possible. Yellow is I like.
That's what I thought. Like, mine's green, yellow, meaning possible.
Green is definite. I put lettering is weird. Algorithm I've got to remind me of why the hell it interested me.
Okay, so Freehold, I wasn't sure about. But then somebody beforehand, I was talking to somebody in Fratfest, and he goes, Mal, watch it. It's really clever.
I don't like listening to people telling me what to see before we see the film.
Well, yeah, we were talking before. I think we were talking day before. I think before Chucky started, actually. I was chatting to somebody, and so I'm like, oh, Mal, I saw it. So I don't know where you saw it. Maybe a preview screen somewhere. He goes, Mal, you know what? You'll like it. He goes, you like it. I think it's a good film. I'm like, oh, I'll give it a go. Okay. And it was right, man. I really liked it.
Yes. I wasn't expecting anything. And I love it when you just sit down, you watch a film, you're not expecting much at all. And then it just delivers this experience. You're like, wow. Totally. So I can't, I mean, having seen it, because it's got quite a few sort of gags in it. And this year was overall heavy with horror comedies this time around. But thinking about it, I mean, I don't know how you feel, but I don't feel it was a comedy. I felt like it was...
a dark comedy.
I don't know if I'd classify it with the comedy bit. Like, yes, it had a lot of comic moments in it, but
I think it's comedic because of the fact that the dialogue was quite comedic. Dialogue was, you know, there's some good lines in there, and some stuff that made you sort of laugh. Yeah,
a real nice, nasty, dark street going through it. What's the setup, Mal? Quick, explain.
So the setup basically is it doesn't sound like a horror film at all, and it's not really a horror film. It's based around the estate agent world or letting agent world, and it's the kind of sort of snidey, sneaky sort of things that estate agents do. Or
he's a wide boy, isn't he? He's a wide boy.
He's a wide boy. Hussein. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, so a bit of background on him is Mimshake is his first film, right? And he's a BBC Asia Network. A radio DJ, and I think One Extra, a radio DJ, and That's his day job. His day job is a reality DJ. That's his first film he's made. And to look at it, I wouldn't have thought that his first film or his first anything. And he nailed it. He nailed everything. I mean, the way the character was done, we asked in the QA if he'd been there, if he'd been on the station before. He hadn't been, from what I know. So for him to do that on his first film and deliver, I think it knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, you moved off, mate. What's the story about?
Yeah, it's basically, this wide boy stage agent dude. And he's got, he does a dodgy deals at the stage agents do to get people interested, but he's got this person in his house living there and he doesn't know he's living there. And it's this cat and mouse. Sort of
he kicks off it. They show he gets up, he gets ready. He does his hair, has a shower, goes to the toilet, la, 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 goes off. And then
the door opens.
I don't know. It's just some. He's like a really wiry, tall man.
Yes, he's heavy,
just wearing pants. Just climbs out of the cupboard, and is living there. He comes out of this little hole in the wall during the day, living off everything that's in the flat. And we're talking leftover pizza, drinking little bits of milk, and like topping it up again with some water to make it look like no one's been there. That's some scary shit, mate.
Oh yeah, it's proper dark. It reminded me of that film we saw. Remember on Fridays a few years ago? It was the Slumlord.
No, I didn't see it. No, I didn't.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. Where again? You should.
That's on Netflix somewhere.
It is. It is. I think it's called The Landlord now, I think, have been renamed, but it's a bit sneaky and weird. And yeah, you're right. So the film almost has this toing and froing and the effect it has on him and his career and everything else. And, you know, it sort of almost shows, and there's a backstory behind it, which we won't ruin because it's part of the plot, but it's a backstory behind it all. And there's a backstory as to how it all fits in, but it's quite dark. It's funny because some of the dialogue's fantastic, especially between him and his girlfriend. That's some really good dialogue, especially when they row and argue. But it's clever. It's cleverly done because, you know, it's plausible, man. I'm not, you know, based on the way this guy lives his life, it's plausible that someone could live in his house unknowingly. Somewhat plausible. I mean, you'd check thoroughly and you'd clean behind certain things to make sure no one's there, but give or take, you'd notice, right? I don't know. But I liked it. I liked the way it was done. And I think it was really, really, really gripping.
You should mention Javier Botet, who plays the tall, wiry man. You know this man's going to, his career is about to blow up. He's all over the place. He's done Alien Covenant. He's in The Mummy. He's in it as well. He's in it.
Yeah. He plays a leper in it.
Wow. He's in Conjuring 2. That's it.
Yep.
The Crooked Man. I didn't even know that was real, The Crooked Man. I thought it was some sort of puppet.
Yeah. He was. Yeah, he was. I remember reading about that. He was. It was a real character. He was in Wreck.
He's in The Revenant as well.
Yeah, he's in a lot of things, man.
Wow.
He's and he plays it well. His character is fantastic. And again, his character's dialogue's great because he's short, sharp, and delivers.
I see. But this he's also the Slender Man. That's not coming out till next year.
Okay, I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. No,
I liked it. And this was easily one of my top films of the festival. Easily.
Yes, you know, I was very impressed.
Way and say, you know, make sure you watch it. And I think I got you a T-shirt out of this, didn't I?
Freehold. You did. Yes. Thank you, Mal. Yes.
To fit my T-shirt haul this year was pretty good. I ended up getting about 5 T-shirts from some various movies. So I done quite well.
Okay.
And then after that, what would we have? So this is where we split, didn't we?
We're going to end on with Freehold is yes. People going to see it.
Big thumbs up. Yeah, watch
find
it.
Find that one.
Yeah. If you don't like it, something wrong with you.
Freehold.
Freehold.
We will publish this list.
Freehold. Dominic Bridges, director. Mim Shaikh is the main character with Javier Botet. It's a UK movie, so get behind the UK films, but definitely go watch it. You know, like I said, if you don't like it, I'll be surprised.
Yes, so you could say I broke with the sequence and
look at that.
Saw something else, but you stayed. You stayed with.
No. I didn't see Sequence Break. I saw a bad match.
God damn! Oh, it was a bad match. Bad match. God damn it, my segue doesn't work, does it at all?
It kind of worked. So I can talk about
Sequence Break. One of us needs to have seen it, though.
Lau saw Sequence Break, and so other people saw Sequence Break. And
Lau's not on this podcast. We got Mal instead.
But to be fair, from what I heard, we didn't miss much. It was okay, but I think it was wasn't out of the park. It wasn't like...
Yeah.
It was one to watch. It's okay. But it's, you know, Graham Skipper's a good guy, you know. He's the guy behind. He did Beyond the Gate last year. We saw, didn't we?
Yes. In fact, we can. I'll probably catch. Is Sequence Break? Is that coming to the UK at all?
Yeah. Isn't it part of one of the Shudder?
Yes,
Shudder,
it is.
Titles.
Yes. So it's going to be streaming on Shudder. So
yeah. The Sequence Break.
But I'm going to catch it.
Yeah. It was this Videodrome homage type movie. Very 80s. Very, very, very much. And it's about this arcade game that goes into another dimension, but I didn't watch it, so I can't talk about it too much. Yeah, but
don't talk about it. We didn't see it.
No, I'm just saying, because we've mentioned it a lot now, and your segue didn't work, so we've got to talk about it a bit. But I saw Bad Match and you saw Fashionista, right?
Yes.
Yes. So you can talk about Fashionista if you want, because I saw it as well at Glasgow earlier this year.
Well, I knew it screened already at Glasgow, because when Fright Fest also runs a second event at Glasgow, and they usually take some big films and put them on.
Yeah.
Last year, case in point, was Devil's Candy, and that was magnificent.
It really was, yes.
And that starred a certain fellow called Ethan Embry.
Yes.
And he's in Fashionista. Yeah. Now, this guy, he picks some good films, because he also did Cheap Thrills, and that's very good.
Yes.
So I thought, Fashionista, he's in it, can't go wrong.
And the shout out to the director, Simon Rumley, who did One of the Wheel last year, Johnny Frank Garrett's Last Word.
Yes, that was... He's definitely a solid director, and I quite like Fashionista. It was a little Marmite with the crowd, because I think it wasn't out and out. You know, sometimes you want to sit down and watch a really good horror, and this was a bit sort of removed from that. It was more about
I like the anxiety and security side, because that can be horrific, man. I mean,
but it was closer towards the problems with like some type of obsession, you know.
Yeah, but I can see why, because she wanted that self-validation. She wanted to be loved and wanted, and you know, when you're insecure in that way, and if you've got the anxiety thing kicking off.
It wasn't a high body count, mate.
It wouldn't have been a high body count, but I think it drew me in. I remember sitting there watching it in Glasgow. I was like, yeah, man, this is great. I like it. Just drew me into this character and what she's doing and why she's doing it.
I liked it.
It's great. Good. And then I saw, at the same time, I saw Bad Match. Which is based, the premise is pretty easy. It's his Tinder date gone wrong. So this is basically, he's a guy, he is on Tinder, like it's going out of fashion, and he's just banging everyone he can. And he meets his match at some point, but it's not as direct as we think it is. So there's a twist again, as always.
Okay.
But Bad Match is basically this guy, he, you know, meets girls, sleeps with them, dumps them, makes excuses. And then his one clingy girl kind of sort of think of, Fatal Attraction, but that sort of character of Glenn Close, where she does become a bit clingy and does come a bit, you know, in his face, and he gets all a bit weird and twisted about it, and it all spirals out of control. And the Tinder date does go from being a Tinder date to this stalkery kind of, you know, crazy obsession thing. But it's clever, because the twist that appears at the end, or towards the end of the film, the sort of third act of the film, is you do sort of kind of see a different view of both characters without giving it much. I'm trying not to give it away, but I like this. It's a good watch. Again, it's not a wow amazing, you've got to watch a film, but it is a good film to watch if you've got to chuck something on. I mean, the guy behind it was the writer of Cheap Thrills, David Chicharillo. So that drew me into watching it the whole end, and I like Cheap Thrills, so let's check this guy out.
Yes, I'd mark this one to see, but it sold out when I tried to grab tickets for it.
Yeah. I'm glad I watched it.
I know, that's it. I went for Fashionista, and I tried to grab it on its second showing, but then it missed out.
No, I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I watched it, because apparently, from what I read, talked to everybody else, the rest of the films that were on at the same time, this was probably the better one to watch. It was cleverly done. Again, good dialogue. I like the fact that it was what it was, and I think it was again quite current. I've got, you know, if you've got, I don't know if anybody can relate to this. I hope not, because, you know, you're a pretty bad person if you are. But yeah, it's a good film to watch. It's a good film to sort of, you know, and it's quite current with the whole online dating thingy and the guy working in advertising. And, you know, it's quite current in that sort of thing. So I liked it, you know.
Where's it set?
I don't know, man. I've forgotten, to be fair. I should have written it down.
Is it a US film? Or is it?
Yeah, it's a US film. Sorry, yeah, it's a US film. Oh. But it's somewhere in the States. I don't know. I didn't pay attention to where
somewhere
it was.
American, yeah?
Somewhere American. Yeah. Let's go with California, because it's nice and sunny.
All right.
But that was, for me, second up on Friday.
And then the third one. Come on, man. let's get to the
point of
the day.
So the dogs was the third
one. Is it the hogs?
The hogs. So it's D H O G S. The hogs or D hogs. The poster says dogs and then hogs and then it's a mishmash of both. I'm guessing. I don't know. Anyway, first things first. Film was shit.
Okay.
Right. I'm laying out now. Right. Now, I say that from my point of view. I didn't like it. I didn't like what was going on. However, people liked it. And when I'm talking about it, I can see why I liked it. Because it was a good, again, it was a good social commentary. Now, I like what it tried to do. Don't get me wrong.
No, I didn't. I didn't like what it tried to do. I didn't think that. I thought it was rubbish, mate.
No, I like the premise. So I like the what it was trying to show in terms of social commentary, how we just let things happen. You know, it's all about the way things, you know, are perceived in the public eye and in the public are almost, you know, voyeurs to what society does. Great message, just a bad way of conveying it. And I think I just didn't get it, you know. And I was sat with a friend of mine and she walked out about 10 minutes to go, which explained the film. But then when I told her the explanation, she's like, oh, fair enough. So yeah, I didn't like it. It was a pile of pants, to be fair. And it was one of the films I wanted to check it out. It was, maybe it's too arty for me. Maybe it's too much sort of, you know, like, let's try and be clever with this. And I didn't get it. And I think your sentiments are much the same, right?
Yeah. I was sat again. Oh God, does this mean because obviously, you know, I ranted a couple of podcasts ago about a film I didn't like that had a particularly tender rape scene, bizarrely tender 5-minute rape scene. It was like, that I didn't really like. And then this film happened to be shit. And it also unrelatedly had a rape scene in it. And I'm sat there going, do I really hate this film because it has a rape scene in it? And I was thinking, shit, maybe I should come up with a list of great films with rape scenes in them. Because, I'm just thinking, is that the thing? I didn't like the film. It didn't click. There was three main acts to it. I didn't feel there was enough of overlap for them to be a coherent story. I just thought it was a bit weird.
Yeah, the weird's a good way to end it. And let's move on before we go on about it again and we get pissed off that we sat through it. But we were saved, weren't we, by the next film, 68 Kill.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now, you can start with this if you want.
I think I had this down as some type of... trailer trash femme fatales lead our hero down a path to hell. It was quite funny.
That's not a bad summary, though. You know? That's not a bad summary at all.
It was directed by the writer of Cheap Thrills. So that's why
Trent Hager,
It came up on my radar and I was like, I have to see this film.
Yeah, yeah.
It had the guy from, he was the older brother in Life After Beth.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he did like almost like a throwback to Chip from Weird Science. So he's got like a quite a sort of comic face. So I kind of knew I sort of think, well, I'm going to sit down and watch a film with him, and you know, it's going to be a certain type of film. And it was that, and it had some nice sort of funny moments in it, and it had some weird and wonderful characters, and it had a fair decent amount of bloodletting.
And I think there was some good gore, some good kill scenes, some twisted stuff, like the guy's main girlfriend, her brother, he's a bit out there, a bit twisted, he's a bit, you know, demented in the head, and kind of stuff he was doing to people, and later on in the end of the film to the other two girls, it was a bit like, right, okay, they've gone there with that one. But the film itself, I liked it because it was this madcap caper kind of thing. You're right. The premise is that they're trying to jack 68 grand from this person's house because it sets them free from his trailer park. And it's supposed to be an easy sort of go in there, grab it, get out, don't get seen. And obviously, as it happens, it gets out of control. Things escalate from one little thing to, you know, some madness, some total madness. Again, without giving the plot away, it does. The madness doesn't let up. It just goes from strength to strength.
I feel this film has a strong poster.
Oh, yeah. It's got a great poster. Yeah.
That was another one of the things where I thought, right,
yeah,
going to see this film.
Yeah. And I like the fact that this film was, it was almost an action film for me with loads of good killings and good, you know, good gore. I didn't see it as a horror. I saw it as a more of an action film, which you could just chuck on and just laugh at some of the dialogue, some of the imagery. There's one which you guys you know I'm talking about, in the trailer park in the second act of the film. There's some good scenes there, which you do laugh at, and you sort of, you know, I enjoyed watching that, and I enjoyed the fact that it was these three female characters who sort of led the movie. Now, having said that, I think the guy that did the intro on the movie pissed off a few people by saying it's very much a strong female characters driven role, which basically means that we've given women a shout here. Now, I talked to some people who didn't like this film, right, and I can give you the reason why. The film itself, from what it is, it's great, but I think it, although there was three women in this film who kind of led the movie in different phases of the film, it didn't put those characters in a good light. So again, there's no plot giveaways. Every woman was, you know, a whore or a, you know, someone who's got involved in that society or that environment. So she was always, you know, that kind of character. And then this chap was this sort of, you know, manipulated kind of easygoing, you know, lovable rogue who kind of sort of couldn't do any better because he was just trying to do the best for his girlfriend. And it, from their point of view, again, without giving too much away, it didn't put them in the right sort of light, and it didn't put them in the right sort of context to say, be strong and, you know, and forceful, although they're walking around carrying baseball bats and guns most of the film. It didn't have that. And I can see that point of view as well. I can see why they would think that and why they would say that, and why it got a bit kind of like, really, you know, another character. And there's a scene in the shop where he's looking for his captors, and, you know, again, I won't spoil it, but there's literally two sentences, and the first sentence is hello. Second sentence is he's like, what? You don't go from hello to that. If you don't remember what it is, I'll message you later and remind you, Maurizio. And I'm thinking that was a bit too much.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But yeah, I think you're right in that these characters were a certain type of character, but they did drive the story. They drive his decisions. Oh, he's quite passive through all of it. Like some key moments in like the third act.
Yeah, yeah. I'll remind you of the dialogue in a minute. After the podcast is finished, I'll remind you of it. But personally, I like the film. It was one of my top films that I saw at the festival because it played really well. And it's an action film for me. And it just, you know, it just ticked that box of, you know, don't have to think, just watch it, be entertained. Yeah. You know, it's a great, great film. So I liked it. It's one of my top 10 films at the festival. But I can see the point of view other people are giving and why they're giving that.
Totally. Yeah, I liked it. I had it more down as a comedy.
Totally. So this is film number 4 for the day, right?
I don't know. I've lost count. Yes.
Yeah, film number 4 on a Friday. Right. And in between, just to let people know, it's not film after film after film. We have about half an hour to 45 minutes to get some food and drink and, you know, keep things going.
You're going off track. No one cares about that. What's the next
one? Of course I do. But they think that we're sitting there film after film, just, you know, just dying on our feet. No breaks, no nothing. We've got to give them a bit of context that, you know,
we do for our audience now.
All right. So anyway, next up at 9 o'clock was Leatherface.
Yes. So I don't remember thinking much about it, like in the run up to it.
I wasn't overhyped about it.
I was thinking, okay, at least there'll be some killing in it. some rednecks running around killing people.
More rednecks killing people. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, yeah, that whole Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing. I wouldn't expect everyone that I was late, so I had to see it in another screen. La la la. It doesn't matter now. Right. So Leatherface. Stephen Dorff is in this. Because everything I've ever watched of him, he's always been the young guy, and this time he was, you know, like in the, you know, like in films, you have that. You have someone who is a known face. He's a name, and he's like a veteran, and he's like in that. This is Stephen Dorff. He's the veteran guy in this film to sort of hold it together. And what can you say about Leatherface? It was like a teen road movie with a whole bunch of killing in it.
Yeah. Again, I wasn't overly impressed. My view on the film was that I think the build up was good. I think the way it started was good. The way it built up to the story was good. And you could sort of see there was attributes as to why. So for people that don't know about it, this is an origin story of why Leatherface became Leatherface. So it is an origin thing. And you can sort of see the build up to the film. Say, all right, I can see why he's being affected and, you know, the kind of person he is. However, and I may spoil it now, so but I'm going to have to. I don't care. There's a bit in the film where this kid who is Leatherface or becomes Leatherface, he's actually a good kid. You know, he's actually got good morals. And he's not a bad person. He's, you know, he's caring and he's sort of thinking, and you know, I've got to look after people that look after me. And then it's almost like as if they're thinking, shit, we've got half an hour left. We better switch him. And they do. And you think, oh, fuck, what happened there? He's just gone from like this normal kind of kid to now, you know, wearing someone's face for a mask. And I think that it rushed at the end for me. And that's what let me down.
I didn't think it was the end that did it for this film. I think it was the whole film. It was okay. Like,
yeah.
You know, with like the kills and things and being, you know, a bit sort of, you know, these kids are all escaped from the nut house and they're, you know, on the road and anything could happen because like they're crazy. But as a prequel to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it does not work. I don't see why they have to make this whole thing with it was a good kid and then and all of a sudden he switched to like some.
Yeah. And obviously his family's twisted, so you see it from the start.
Adult is fucking crazy.
Yeah, and his family's twisted, so you see it from the start. His family's twisted, and right from the get go, it's this twisted family, you know?
Yeah, but for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the family, the crazy family, that you imagine that is generations of crazy leading up to that. There's no like someone with morals in the middle of it who suddenly goes, wait a minute, I love the girl and, you know, I want to do this, that, and the other. They've always been like, this is generations on from someone being a bit angry to someone being full blown crazy. So I don't see how this film fits in that. Yeah, I didn't, you know, it was all right as a film, but as part of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing, thumbs down.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. I agree. I think it was, it wasn't great. But it was what it was. But I think the day got saved at the end by Deadshot, the last film up, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I was finished having a go at Leatherface. Because the thing that really got to me was like Leatherface, right? He wears the faces of various victims he stitched together, he put on his face. He has a chainsaw, you know, and in that film they were like, this is the reason why he puts the face on. This is the reason why he, you know, now he's got the chainsaw. I didn't understand that because, like, imagine he's, what, 17. This is what he's doing. He's now going to do that until we see him in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That just doesn't work in my mind. It's like, what, all of a sudden he has these things and he's going to do that now for the rest of time. It's,
Yeah.
No, sorry.
I agree. So, no, look, that's fine. I think we're bashing it because it was Leatherface and you don't really want to fuck with Leatherface in that way. And then,
exactly.
You know, they did and it was what it was. Right, Deadshot. Because we've been talking about, we're on Friday, mate. We're going to be going for 45 minutes. So Deadshot was the last film on Friday. This was a good laugh. So,
It's a Canadian film.
Yes.
I can't remember the, like, why I put plot. I got plot down next to this. So I think it must have sounded pretty cool, the way they've written it up on Frightfest.
Yeah.
It had Lauren Holly in it.
Yep.
I remember her from Dumb and Dumber, and also as Mrs. Jim Carrey for a number of years.
Yep.
So I was looking forward to it.
Yep. I liked it.
I was hoping she would turn up to the premiere, but you know, you can't have it all.
No. Yeah, exactly. But we're dinner for Tilly, mate. We can't have everything.
It's Canadian independent horror film, and yeah, we've seen some good ones, haven't we?
Yeah.
And oh, yeah, that's it. And it's got a wicked poster. I like a film with a decent poster.
It was a good post, actually. And this was the UK premiere of Deadshot. And I think it delivered, mate. I think it was really good. It was again, you know, based around the sort of teenage kids kind of thingy who discovered this random sort of den of death almost, right? And this forest.
Cabin in the woods, yeah.
I didn't want to say that, but yeah, fair enough.
Come on, man. Yeah, it's another cabin in the woods film.
I know. I didn't want to go there, but fair enough. And then they sort of find this cabin in the woods and then they sort of discover what's going on and they sort of goad each other, and you've got one comedic kid who's that the dick being, you know, just being an idiot thinking,
smart,
what the hell,
ass, yeah,
smart ass, yeah. And then you've got the girl interest and you've got the boy who's trying to be the hero but not really, and then you've got the dad. Now the dad steals the show for me. The dad of these kids is
a
brilliant character. He was hilarious, he was funny, some of his lines, he's trying to be that, you know, he was being that cool dad but not really cool dad kind of character.
Well, he was exactly being me in my head.
Yeah, totally. And I think that that played well because it really really tied the comedy together in this film, because there is some terror in this film. There is some terror in these kids being chased, and you know what's going on in this cabin is what's going on. And he's all trying to work out what's happening, and then you've got these kids discovering his cabin, and then just sort of they're there on a holiday. So they've gone from like a little break in the woods kind of thingy, and then they sort of discover that they're next door to this cabin, and then they go and check it out, and all hell breaks loose, and they're trying to sort of, it's a fight for survival, and there's some great lines in there, some great comedy in there, and you find yourself again just, you know, on just rooting for these kids to sort of say, hey, let's see what you can do, let's get out there, and you know, let's see if you can, you know, defeat the baddies, as it were, and then you're rooting for them to, you know, that throughout the film, but the dad, like I said, still the show. He's a funny character, and I think this is a great way to end the day. It's a great way to almost, a great closing film. You know, I think this is a great midnight movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I agree. So that was Friday. We're up to about we're almost done for this first part of the podcast, I think, mate.
We're gonna call it a day, yeah.
For a while now, we may have to do a few parts, I think.
All right.
Yeah. I think we're gonna have to, because look. Everyone, we've got Saturday, Sunday, Monday to go. And Saturday, Sunday, Monday were some of the best films we saw. Monday was solid, strong. We've got a karaoke night to talk about, which Marissa wasn't there for, but I ended up going to 3:30 in the morning.
We don't know about that. What was it, horror? Yeah.
Mate, you wanted to be there, mate. If you were there, you would have been talking about it.
I'm more of a marathon runner.
That was my second 3:30 in the morning finish for the day, for the night, and yeah, we'll talk about that, because the thing we want to capture in the next part of the podcast is the Fright Fest family and the Fright Fest crowd and what brings us there every year, but also what makes these films so good. Some films you will watch with a Fright Fest crowd and watch them completely differently as you would with your normal mates, or you watch on your own. And then the strongest part of Fright Fest for us is the social element. And going to the pub every night, you know, this karaoke.
It's the films.
Yeah, whatever. It is the films, but yeah, the social element, because you're there with the people that are like-minded, who enjoy it just as much as you do, but also want to have a laugh and have a drink. And to throw in a karaoke night in the middle of a film festival, you think, what the hell? But it worked. So we'll discover that in the next part of our podcast, as well. We do the films that were Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But we weren't going to do a 3-hour podcast for you guys, because no one's listened to me for 3 hours. So I think we would need probably to call it a day for the first part of it, and then we'll cover Saturday, Sunday, and Monday in Fright Fest Part 2.
The sequel, yeah.
Yeah, the sequel.
The return of yes. Fright Fest.
Yeah, that'll work. So that'll be out very soon after, to be fair, because I think we're going to not leave too much gap in it, because we want to make sure you guys can keep up with the flow. So far, it's been an all right Fright Fest. So far, Thursday, Friday has been okay, a couple of good films. It's bubbling away nicely, but you're in for a treat the next 3 days. You really are. So hold on. We're back with the part 2 to this very shortly. But in the meantime, enjoy this one. Thanks again. And again, tweet us on AI Horror Pod. Mal Jutley's mine, and you're at Reyes, right?
On Twitter, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we'll be sharing it as normal. Hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll see you for part 2 of the Fright Fest 1 very, very soon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.